Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we shall read again at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And especially the middle of verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. In the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, there is a showing forth of the death of Christ. Literally, we are to proclaim his death till he come. The Lord's people are declaring that they stand on his side, that he is their Lord and Savior. They are showing to others Christ, what they think of him, what he means to them. And they are contributing their portion of influence for the spread of the knowledge of the gospel, the spread of the knowledge of Christ and him crucified. And Christ is telling us that we are to remember him as we perform the duties in regard to the sacrament. And Paul is saying that because Christ said, "This do in remembrance of me," we are showing his death till he come, and because of that showing of his death till he come, we are therefore to do this in remembrance of him. That is the purpose of the sacrament, to honor him, to obey his dying command in remembrance of him. And that is what we want to consider this morning, on a day of preparation for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that Christ has appointed this sacrament to be helpful to his people in their remembering him. They would never forget his name. They would not forget his truths, his requirements, his commandments, but they, in a practical way, may forget him. And they may have thoughts and attitudes and even actions that were as if they had forgotten Christ. And he has appointed the sacrament of his body and blood to bring before their minds in a spiritual as well as practical way himself, what he has done for them. He says, "This do in remembrance of me." The Lord knows our frailty. He knows our many failings, and that we are not able of ourselves to think upon him in such a way that would bring us to do for him, to live for him, to think and feel in a way that is agreeable to our profession. We need the means that he has appointed to help us in that direction. And so he says, "This do in remembrance of me." And with his help and seeking him to give us that preparation of heart for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we would consider, first of all, the purpose of the sacrament in remembering Christ. the purpose of the sacrament in remembering Christ. He has appointed this ordinance for our spiritual good to help us remember him. And secondly, the person and work that is remembered. Christ is remembered. His work is remembered. What he has done is remembered. The bread and wine are telling us of his death on the cross for his people. We are to remember him and what he has done for us. The person and work that is remembered. And secondly, the participation in the sacrament for the remembrance of Christ. The participation in the remembrance of Christ. What our thoughts and affections and attitude should be in coming to the Lord's table as we partake of the elements, the symbols of Christ's broken body and shed blood. What our thoughts and feelings, emotions, and our attitude should be. To do so in remembrance of him, to remember him with faith and love and hope and thankfulness. So we begin, first of all, to consider the purpose of the sacrament in remembering Christ, and then his person and work that is remembered, and last, the participation in the sacrament in regard to remembering Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Well, the purpose of the sacrament is to honor Christ, to remember him, showing his death till he come. Paul says, you are showing Christ's death, you're proclaiming his death, you're showing it to others, and therefore, that being objectively the case, you are showing his death, you should do so subjectively, your thoughts and purposes to agree with the actual thing itself. You're actually showing Christ in this outward way, so see to it that your thoughts and purposes agree with that outward action. Remember him because you're showing him. Remember him because you're proclaiming him. Imagine the preacher coming into the pulpit and he's preaching Christ. He's speaking of what Christ has done for sinners, but his motivation is something else, just to make a living, just to get praise from men. That's not the purpose of the ministry. Our motives and our purpose should agree with the outward thing, the outward actions. And that's what the point is of Paul here, as he comments by inspiration upon what Christ himself said. The Lord Jesus said, "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And Paul says in verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." That is what you're doing. You're proclaiming his death. And do you realize that? You're not just coming to an ordinary meal. This is in honor of Christ, and you're showing him and his death. So remember him when you come to the table. Think on him. Seek that the thoughts of him would be uppermost in your mind, and that you would remember him with faith and love and thankfulness. Well, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, of course, has been appointed by Christ himself. It is his authority that is brought before us most clearly. The apostle says to the Corinthians, you're treating the sacrament as if it were an ordinary meal. Well, I'm telling you that I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you already, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. This ordinance of the Lord's Supper is directly from Christ. I didn't receive it, Paul says, from any other apostle. I received it directly from the Savior. It is his authority that is manifest in the appointment of the sacrament. So we're to honor him. We're to remember him. He has appointed this sacrament. And it is not only the authority of Christ that we see from the word Lord, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, but he is the Lord Jesus. He is the Savior of his people. So not only is it his authority that is revealed to us in the appointment of the sacrament, but it is his love to his people that comes before us. The Lord Jesus, our Savior, has appointed this sacrament for our good. And that should be an encouragement to God's people. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he did it that night in which he was betrayed, when he was about to go through such awful suffering on behalf of his people. That same night, he instituted this sacrament for their good. When we would have thought would be so preoccupied with what he was about to suffer and endure, that he wouldn't have time, as it were, to appoint something for us, but he did. Even though he was about to endure the most awful sufferings, he appointed this sacrament for our spiritual good. In the night, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This too in remembrance of me." What he did, we are to do. He took the bread. He gave it to the disciples. The minister is to take the bread, give it to the people, and they are to take the bread and receive it in remembrance of him. So the Lord's Supper is a sacrament, and a sacrament, we may remind ourselves, is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ. It's his authority, wherein by sensible signs that we can see, that come into our view, even into our taste, wherein by sensible signs brought to our senses, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. And so the spiritual grace that we need is represented to us, brought to our view in the elements of bread and wine, the nourishment for our souls. Christ and him crucified for our spiritual good is represented or signified in these signs, the bread and wine. The bread is broken, symbolizing Christ's body, broken, bruised. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And the wine in the cup, representing the blood of Christ that was shed for his people. The Lord Jesus said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which was shed for many for the remission of sins." So we see the wine in the cup representing the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. So not only is the sacrament a sign to show us these things, to represent these things, but it is a seal for us to confirm to us his grace, his love, the spiritual blessings that are conveyed to us, that he gives us, forgiveness of sins. When we see the red wine, we think we are seeing the blood of Christ in the symbol, confirming to us the forgiveness of sins. So that is the sacrament which signifies and seals these spiritual blessings. They confirm to us our interest in Christ, or our share, or our reception of these spiritual blessings. And just going according to that shorter catechism definition of a sacrament, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is also a means of conveying to us this grace. So it is a sign to represent these things. It is a seal to confirm these things. But it is also a means whereby Christ and the benefits that he has purchased for his people are conveyed to us. They are means, they are channels of blessing for our spiritual good, our spiritual nourishment and growth and grace conveyed to us, is confirmed. It is brought to us through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper, it is that holy ordinance instituted by Christ. His authority and his love is brought before us, wherein by giving and receiving bread and wine according to Christ's appointment, his death is showed forth, and the worthy receivers are, not after a corporal and carnal manner, but by faith, made partakers of his body and blood to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. There are many uses and purposes of the sacrament. For example, we've already mentioned spiritual nourishment, but also it is a means wherein fellowship with one another of God's people is confirmed and it is promoted. They have communion one to another, one with another. Their love to each other is given expression to in the sacrament. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is for their further engagement to the duties that they have to Christ. It intensifies their obligations. They see how indebted they are to Christ for what he has done for them. But, of course, what we want to emphasize and what we're thinking upon this morning is that Christ has appointed this sacrament that we may remember him. This do in remembrance of me. Would the Lord's people forget Christ? Well, as we said, they would not forget him intellectually. They wouldn't forget that they have the name of Christ upon them. They go to church. They say grace at meals. They're careful that they wouldn't do anything, at least anything notorious that would dishonor Christ. They wouldn't forget the doctrines, his commandments, the facts of redemption. But as to a practical remembering of him and a spiritual remembering of him, that influences their attitudes as well as their actions. They may forget him to all intents and purposes for what really matters. They may forget him. And they may think and even act sometimes as if they had forgotten Christ. That is what is sadly often the case, that they do not live as they wish to do in a way that agrees with their profession, that agrees with what Christ has done for them. And that is an awful thought, isn't it? To, in a practical way, forget the Lord, to forget our Savior, to forget what he has done for us, to think, to have an attitude that is really completely contrary to what is expected of those that Christ died for, those who are indebted to him, those who have been bought by his precious blood, to think and live, act in a way that is disagreeable to that. What an awful thing to forget the Lord, to put it in these words, that we need something to remind us of what Christ has done for us. But you see, that is the encouraging thing in regard to the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus knows that we are sinners. He knows that we are likely to forget him in this practical and spiritual way. And he has appointed this sacrament of his body and blood for our spiritual good, that we may remember him. Because often our thoughts of Christ are superficial, and it's only his name. It's only, as it were, the outward shell, and we're missing what we deeply long for, that heartfelt acknowledgement of Christ. So the Lord Jesus has appointed this sacrament not only for the outward proclamation of his death, showing his death till he come, but that we in our hearts might remember him, so that the death of Christ would really influence us and have a lasting impact upon us, so that when we're reawakened, as it were, we would begin to think to ourselves, how did I forget the Savior in this, for example, this trial that I've been going through? And I've been thinking and pondering what I ought to do. And in all of those thoughts, I wasn't really thinking of Christ. I wasn't remembering him. I didn't forget to read the Bible. I didn't forget to pray at the appointed time. But really, that heartfelt prayer, that real faith in him, that was missing. How could I have forgotten to plead the promises in real earnest prayer and true looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? So the Lord Jesus has appointed this sacrament that we might remember him with faith, that his truth would be meaningful to us, have an effect upon us, and that it would motivate us in our duties, that we would be brought to honor him. This do in remembrance of me. The Lord's Supper has been called a memorial of Christ's sacrifice. A memorial is not just a monument, a statue that's been set up, but it's anything that calls to mind, as the dictionary has it, something that keeps remembrance alive. A memorial keeps remembrance alive. It may be a monument, or it may be something like a speech or a ceremony, but it brings back to mind that most important event that we're wanting to remember. It brings back various aspects of it. It brings back perhaps some of the impressions that were received when it first happened. There are other memorials, as it were, in the scripture. And we are told about the sacrifices of the Old Testament and how they were appointed to remember sin. The sacrifices of the Old Testament, the offering of bullocks and goats and lambs, could never really take away sin. If they could take away sin, they would be no longer offered. They would have ceased to be offered. Because when sin is taken away, that's the end of the matter. And, of course, Christ's sacrifice took away sin, and so his sacrifice was never repeated. But he said, but the apostle says that in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. It's calling to mind that we are sinners, and we need our sins forgiven. So that was a means appointed to bring back the fact in a real, effective way that we are sinners and we need to be forgiven. Of course, the sacrifices were also pointing to Christ himself and his sacrifice that would take away sin once and for all. But these sacrifices of the Old Testament, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. A remembrance again, where it's bringing back to our mind in a very impactful way. We are sinners, and only the blood of Christ can take away our sins. Without shedding of blood, that's what sin requires, a shedding of blood in order to take away sin. And then there's another memorial in the New Testament, and that is not a sacrifice, but it was a means by which someone showed their thankfulness to Christ. And the Lord Jesus actually uses the word memorial. And that is when Mary brought in the ointment and poured it upon the Savior. And he said that she had done this for the anointing of his body for his burial. But when others accused her and said she should have sold that and given it to the poor, Jesus was defending her and commending her, and he actually said, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." It's a different word in the Greek, but it still is that which calls to mind, that which brings back to our memory. And so here we are once again, we're remembering what Mary did for her Lord. And it is recorded in the gospel as a memorial to remind us, to bring back to our memory, to keep the remembrance of what she did, to keep the remembrance alive. And the Lord Jesus said about her that she hath done what she could. And that is a reminder to us. We may not be able to do much. We may feel that way. But we're to do what we can. We may not have tons of money to put into the collection plate, but we give what we can. And we mean to do so. We mean to live for the Lord in the way that we are able, by his grace, to give to others as we can. Just by the way, the Lord's Supper is what we can do, not in our own strength, but it is what we are enabled to do for his glory. We may not be able to preach a whole sermon or go talk to others about our Savior in the way that we would like to do, in a very fluent or eloquent way, and to convince others of the truth, but even in a silent way, we may come to the table of the Lord and show forth his death, to proclaim, without moving our lips, as it were, to proclaim to others what Christ has done. She hath done what she could. And that was a memorial. This, recorded in the gospel, was a memorial of her. And, of course, the sacrament, in a very obvious way, is a memorial of Christ and him crucified. The Lord's people receiving the bread and wine, representing Christ's body and blood, keeps the remembrance of him alive. And they are affected by what they see. They are affected by what they taste. They are affected by the sensible sign, the sign, the symbol that's presented to our senses. You see, the Word of God brings into our hearing what Christ has done for his people. We hear about the Savior. We hear the call to come to him, to live for him, to repent of our sins, and to look, yes, by faith, not with the eyes of our body, but the eyes of our soul, to look on him whom we pierced, and mourn for him, and live for him. That is the word of God that comes into our hearing, and that's a channel or an avenue by which God communicates grace to our souls. But more than the hearing, there is the sight. No, we do not walk by sight, we walk by faith, and yet even in this physical way, we can see what Christ has done in the symbol. As the bread is presented to our sight and it is broken in our view, the minister takes the bread and breaks it, and we're to actually watch that happen. It's to help us. Just as that bread was broken, Christ's body was broken, No, we're not to keep our heads bowed down as if we were blind. We're to heedfully view the elements, the symbols, and watch the minister take the bread, break the bread, and give the bread, and the communicants take the bread and put it to their mouths and feed upon it. So this is the symbols and the sacramental actions are brought to our view. We can see it happen. And it's another sense, one of the five senses, by which God communicates his truth and is a means of grace to have an impact upon us. Doesn't this keep alive in our souls the remembrance of Christ when we actually feel it? And all of this is to confirm our faith. We're not putting pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ on the wall. We don't hang a cross outside our church or on the steeple. We don't even form images of the Lord Jesus in our mind. We don't know what he looks like, but we know what he did. We know that he is a historical figure. He grew up in Nazareth. He journeyed to Jerusalem. He spoke to the people at the temple. He fed 5,000. He performed all the miracles. He was a real person in history, but we don't know what he looked like. And so what Christ has appointed is sufficient for us, something that we can see, something that we can taste and smell, and as well as going along with the hearing of the preached word. This is to confirm our faith and to seal to us the grace of God to our souls. So does this not keep alive the remembrance of Christ? Doesn't it have an impact upon us when by his blessing, we must not forget that, it's by the blessing of Christ and the working of his Spirit in them that by faith receive them. We're not trying to separate the physical impact from the spiritual grace that is communicated, but both take place at the same time. And the aim is to seek a clearer view of Christ. Just as the bread is broken, Christ's precious body was broken. As the wine, we see it in the cup, the red wine, it was the precious blood that was shed and that is sprinkled upon us spiritually. And that's giving us a clearer view of what Christ has done in order that we might have a stronger hold of Christ. It's more confirmed and established in our minds and hearts, and we feel these things in the very depths of our souls. And we're to feed on Christ by faith. Just as the bread is presented to our senses, so Christ crucified is present to our faith, and there is a real feeding upon Christ. Feeding upon Christ. It is spiritual. It's in our souls, and it is nevertheless real and true feeding upon Christ, receiving and resting on Christ alone for salvation. So the Lord Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." And we should pray that the Holy Spirit would work and enable us. And that is a very important point we must not forget. And even we should think about what Christ himself said in John chapter 14 and verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, of course, the Savior is speaking to his apostles, and you compare that verse with what is found in the in following chapters, that the Holy Spirit will enable the apostles to communicate his truth as inspired apostles. But what takes place with the apostles in an official way is certainly the case in a less official way for us, for the individual believer. It's the Holy Spirit that communicates his truth to us, that enables us to receive his word and lay hold of it for our spiritual good. The Holy Spirit enables us to benefit from the word, to benefit from the sacrament. We must never forget that the symbols of Christ's broken body and shed blood do not have any inherent power. The sacrament is not a charm. There is no magician that presents to you some superstitious work to change your life. No, this people come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper thinking that as long as they've done that, they are sure for eternity. And so they'll absent themselves for 11 months of the year and then come on so-called Easter Day and sit at the table of the Lord. And as long as they've done that, they think they are safe forever. But that surely is going close to deeming the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to be some superstitious rite and ceremony that has some kind of inherent power. Now we're to look through the symbols to Christ crucified and receive and rest on him alone for salvation. And that is discerning the Lord's body. To make a difference between the Lord's Supper and any other supper, but no doubt there's more to it than that, it is discerning Christ, seeing him, viewing him, viewing the atonement, the offering up of Christ's sacrifice to God, and viewing that through the symbols of bread and wine, which Christ has appointed for that purpose, to represent him and to be a means of bringing us a clearer view of Christ and giving us a stronger hold of the Savior. Well, think of Christ giving himself. And that's the second point to consider, the person and work that is remembered. We in Scripture are directed to remember many things. We're to remember the way that the Lord has brought us, that we might humble ourselves and know what is in our hearts. We are required to remember or think upon the works that God has done that breed admiration. We must not forget, we must remember his commandments to do them. But the Lord Jesus Christ in his sacrament is calling us to remember him. We're to think about him, to think on his person. He is Jehovah. He fills heaven and earth. He is also man. He is the fellow of Jehovah, the man that is his fellow. So he is God manifest in the flesh. He has two natures, the divine nature and the human nature, and he is one person forever. God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. He is the one who fills heaven and earth. He is from eternity. He is of old, from eternity, we are told. And yet you will find him, the angels told the shepherds, lying in a manger, an infant. The Ancient of Days has become an infant in this day. But he did not remain an infant. We are not stranded on the 25th of December to think about the nativity scene. But we think about why Christ was born. And we think about Christ who was crucified. We don't put a nativity scene over the hearth. We don't even put a cross on the wall. But we go to the word and sacrament and we see Christ evidently set forth crucified before us. The one who from eternity was appointed to be the prophet, priest, and king of his people. to teach them, to save them from their guilt, to rule over them and defend them. We think of his person and his offices and his work, what he did for our sakes. Paul says, "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's saying, you know it already. And yet he is going to remind them. And we need to be constantly be brought to remembrance of the things of God, and especially the things of Christ crucified. Of course, in Christ crucified, everything is revealed. The greatness of God, the holiness of God, the goodness of God, the wisdom of God. Paul says, "I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." But if you know Christ crucified, then you know so much of what is revealed in the Word of God. "Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." It is through his suffering, his willingness to lay down his life for his people, that we may have grace. He was obedient to the law of God. He was obedient to the will of God, obedient to the extent that he suffered and died on the cross. And there was no rest in his soul when he suffered on the cross, that he might provide rest for our souls, for those who believe in him, that they might receive forgiveness. And so we're to think on him. "Remember me," he says. "Remember what I have done. I have done this for you. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." He did this for you. Is it too much to ask that you would remember him, what he did for you, how he wore the crown of thorns for you, how he was smitten for you, how he was scourged for you, how he was pierced for you, how he was crucified and slain for you, crucified in weakness? Yes, he was weak. Someone had to carry the cross for him to that place where he was crucified. He was God indeed, but he died on the cross. The man Christ Jesus suffered and died, crucified in weakness, suffering in agony, groaning, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then he bows his head and he gives up the ghost. "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." But we're to think on these things, to remember him, remember why he suffered for sin, and sin that is forgiven through his precious blood, and that he rose again after 3 days, and he ascended into heaven after 40 days, and he sat down at the right hand of God. So who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we are to remember him, remember his person and his work. And what we want to consider in the third place is the participation in the remembrance of Christ. The participation, receiving the sacrament, in other words, in remembrance of Christ. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Well, how should we remember Christ? Not just in our minds, not just facts in our head, but we're to remember him in faith, receiving and resting on Christ, thinking about him, thinking that just as bread cannot be eaten without being broken, so Christ is of no use to us except he be broken. He must die if we are to live. His blood must be shed if our sins are to be forgiven. So it is only by Christ suffering on the cross as our substitute that we may have life for our souls, that we may have our sins forgiven and receive and enjoy life and the favor of God. So we're to remember him in faith, like Peter who said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I have nowhere else to go. I have no life without thee. But I must have Christ. Give me Christ or I die." As if a man would say, I'm starving. If I don't get bread, I'm going to die in this famine. I need bread in order to live. I need Christ in order to live eternally. I need Christ to have spiritual life. It's Christ's sacrifice that turned away the wrath of God. It's Christ's sacrifice that reconciles me to God. I need the atonement. I need the blood that was shed. I need Christ's body and blood for my soul. And that is the only way that I can live. Are we remembering him with faith, but also with love? And when we think about Christ dying and remember his love that was manifest in his death, that will kindle love. And we're to remember him in love. And as Peter said, again, when the Lord Jesus asked him, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved indeed that three times the Lord Jesus asked him that. But he appealed to the omniscience of Christ and said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Peter had many failings, but he couldn't deny the affection that he felt in his heart toward the Savior. And we are to remember him in love, seeking that love that we have in our hearts for the Savior would grow, that the spark, it may be, just a little spark of love as well as faith, would be kindled, would be fanned into a flame of love to Christ. Is it not the case, my friend, you who hope to come to the Lord's table tomorrow, or would at least desire to, that you cannot deny some movement of the heart in the direction of Christ, and that really everything brought into the open in your view, you would have to say that there is nothing more precious to you than Christ and his love. His banner over me was love. And not only are we to remember Christ with faith and love, but with thankfulness. The confession of faith reminds us that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is not a sacrifice. There is no offering up of the sacrifice of Christ in the sacrament. That would be to say that the sign and the thing signified are one and the same. That would be to say that the symbol and the real thing are one, which it is not. The symbol is not the same thing that it symbolizes, but in the Roman Catholic system, they say that the bread and the wine are the literal body and blood of Christ. Well, then it's no more a symbol. It's no more a sign. It's not a sacrament. It's the real thing, speaking reverently. It is Christ himself, but that's not the case. What is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? It is an oblation. It is an offering up, not a sacrifice, not blood, but an offering up of praise and thanksgiving to God. It is a commemoration with thanksgiving for what Christ has done for his people. An offering up, it is an oblation, the Confession of Faith says, which is an offering, an oblation of all possible praise to God for the one and once offered sacrifice of Christ. So we're to remember him with thanksgiving and to realize in our souls how indebted we are to Christ, and every blessing we receive from him is all due to that one sacrifice. Spiritual blessings, temporal provisions, all flow to us through Christ and his sacrifice. And we're remembering what he has done for his people, remembering him as well as the blessings that we enjoy from him because of what he has done, offering up himself a sacrifice, we offer up praise in the sacrament. And we're to remember him humbly with repentance and godly sorrow. I just remind you again, you hear some people say, God has forgiven you, now you forgive yourself. I don't find that in the Bible. And even in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we're to be condemning ourselves. Self-accusation. The Puritans speak about loading the conscience with guilt. Yes. We have sinned. Rend your heart and not your garments. Come with contrition. Come with brokenness. Come weeping at the foot of the cross. There's no inconsistency between thankfulness and godly sorrow. It's not the sorrow of the world that worketh death. Godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of, turning to the Lord with all the heart. Sweet repentance, yes, bitterness because of our sin, but there's mercy in God in Christ. And repentance is love. Repentance is love, weeping at the foot of the cross. It is the tear in the eye of faith. And we're to come humbly. Yes, thankful, rejoicing in Christ, rejoicing in his merits, and sorrowing over sin, having no confidence in the flesh, remembering what Christ has done, and it was for sin. Join trembling with your mirth. Remember him, and that he offered up himself a sacrifice for sin. But remember him with devotion, and renewing our covenant with God, asking that our determination to follow him would increase, that would be more resolved to follow Christ and live for him. I will be for thee. Remember in Zechariah chapter 13 at the end, that God will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Other lords beside thee have had dominion over me, but by thee only will I make mention of thy name. It is the name of God I with a song most cheerfully will praise, and I, in giving thanks to him, his name shall highly raise. More devotion, remembering him with that determination to live for him and remember him with hope. You show his death till he come. We have hope in the resurrection when he will come and receive us to be with himself forever. And remember him with perseverance. The Lord Jesus has appointed this sacrament for our spiritual good. And he is saying to us in the gospel, arise and eat, for the journey is too hard for thee. He knows what we need, and we're to remember him, thanking him for his goodness and appointing this sacrament for us. Perhaps someone is saying to themselves, well, this is all very good, but still I don't feel prepared to come to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. I wanted to be more prepared. I wanted to read a little more. I didn't even make all the services. I wanted to, but there was work to do, duties to perform. I don't feel prepared. I haven't done all the usual things. I've had very little time. It's to my regret, but that is the way it is. I don't feel prepared. But you wish to be prepared, do you not? And it does matter to you that you feel unframed. Your spiritual condition is not what you wish it to be. You're not indifferent to these things. It matters to you. And you're still praying that you would be prepared, that there would be suitable exercises of soul and mind and heart. And so we were reminded already throughout the communion services of Hezekiah's prayer for the people that when they were going to celebrate the Passover, they had not done everything according to what was written in the law in order to celebrate this Passover. They weren't fully prepared. But Hezekiah, the good King Hezekiah, prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord, pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary." Still in your heart, you're seeking that preparation. You're praying that God would help you. You don't have everything sorted as you wish, but in your heart, you're going to God, and you're still to go to God in prayer for that preparation. And we read that the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And perhaps you feel still doubtful in your mind as to whether you are one of God's people, as well as lacking that due preparation. And so the question is asked, can someone who doubts his being in Christ or of his due preparation to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper come? Well, I'll just read, I'll try not to comment on it this time, the larger catechism question 172. Answer: one who doubteth of his being in Christ or of his due preparation to the sacrament of the Lord's Supper may have true interest in Christ, though he be not yet assured thereof, and in God's account hath it, if he be duly affected with the apprehension of the want of it, and unfeignedly desires to be found in Christ and to depart from iniquity, in which case, because promises are made and this sacrament is appointed for the relief even of weak and doubting Christians, he is to bewail his unbelief and labor to have his doubts resolved, and so doing, he may and ought to come to the Lord's Supper that he may be further strengthened. There are promises for weak and doubting believers. Isaiah 35, verse 3, "Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Comfort ye my people, saith thy God." You say, "But I'm not worthy, and I'm worried about unworthy partaking." I'll briefly point out that it is not the unworthiness of the persons that is condemned here in our passage, but it is the unworthy actions and attitudes that are condemned. In ourselves, we are unworthy, and it is a suitable exercise to feel our unworthiness. But what is condemned is a careless, lighthearted, indifferent coming to the table as if it were an ordinary meal. That is what is ultimately condemned. But if you have a sense of unworthiness, you see your failings and you're seeking forgiveness through the blood of Christ, then you're welcome to come to his table, and you're seeking further preparation that you might come remembering him. You're troubled, you're fearful, but the Lord Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let your thoughts and affections be taken up with me." How will you be prepared? How will you be ready to come to the Lord's table? Our text says it all. Remember him. Come remembering his grace. Come remembering his love. Come and do this in remembrance of me. And think upon him and praise him. And finally, a word to those who know they are disqualified from coming to the table. You may not be eligible to come to the table of the Lord in the sacrament, but you are eligible, if I may say so, to come to the gospel table, because Jesus is calling, "Come unto me," and he's declaring to you, "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." And just as he said to his disciples on that morning in which they had brought the 153 fishes, "Come and dine," he's saying to you in a spiritual way, "Come and dine, come and eat. This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. And finally, to the Lord's people, the Lord Jesus is saying in the sacrament, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." May he bless his word. Let us pray.